Our topic today, wild fruit breeding.
Welcome to Gardeners Radio by Lubera Edibles, the podcast for professional gardeners. We are talking about edible plants.
My name is Frederik Vollert and I'm responsible at Lubera Edibles for product development. My guest today is Markus Kobelt. Hello, Markus.
Hi.
Would you please introduce yourself?
I have to. No, I'm Markus Kobelt. I'm founder of Lubera in Switzerland. We are doing fruit berry breeding. We are producing finished plants for our web shops in German-speaking countries. And we are co-founders of Lubera Edibles together with Rupert Meyer. And I'm also responsible especially for the fruit breeding. And Frederick, my friend, is working 1 week a month in our nursery in Switzerland and bringing together our know-how and our results in breeding to product development in the in vitro lab and in the young plant production. So that's the reason we are here to talk about wild fruit plants.
Yes. Wild fruits. Markus, can you explain what wild fruits are?
Yes. These are plants we are working on to make them less wild. We are working on wild fruit plants to make them not anymore wild. So no, these are not or almost not domesticated plants, which are just growing in the wild, in the forest, wherever, internationally, not only plants from Europe, but also from the US, from Asia, from wherever, which may be interesting. And these are wild fruits and berry plants. In a general way, you can also say there is only a very small portion, perhaps one digit number of percentages, so 1 to 3% of all edible plants we are really developing and using for mankind, for feeding our always bigger populations. And so there is a huge potential there out there for edible plants, also fruits and berries and vegetables, which are not anymore, not yet developed. So on this we are working.
Which criteria do you use for the cultures you will breed for? So
we're looking for orphan crops, or you could also say sleeping princesses. So where you see, it could be a princess, but it's not yet that one. For that, so normally we are not going to work on crops which nobody knows, not because we are not fast enough, but because I think we want to invest our work in things who may grow in the future, who may become important in the future, who even may one day in 100 years become as important as blueberries. Because remember, blueberry breeding, blueberry domestication started at the east coast of the United States, New Jersey, Washington, D.C., about 100 years, 120 years ago, not more. And now it's the second biggest crop in berries after strawberries. We hope to work on something like this. I'm not sure, but there are still possibilities to recognize new potential in wild crops. And that's the reason we are working on it. Mm-hmm.
And do you have some examples for cultures, for crops you are just breeding on? You're breeding at the moment, you have breeding work on it, maybe crossing or selecting seedlings?
Yeah, we have 4 or 5 programs about the same size. We are working in buckseed thorns, to have more compact varieties, to have varieties without thorns, and varieties where you could eat the berries directly. So high goals, not easy to reach, but possible by using new genetics from Eastern Europe or Siberia.
Normally, Sibaxon is processing fruit.
Juice. Yeah, but juice is also processing.
Yes, but only a few people, I think, they will like it to eat it fresh.
You have to be rather resistant to acidity. that's nothing for you. And so sea buckthorn. And as always, sea buckthorn is a good idea. So we saw some new varieties from, or not known varieties from Eastern Europe. We tasted and tested them, and we thought they are fantastic. So we selected some varieties we are bringing to the market this spring in our shop, and perhaps in the future also at Lubera Edibles. And then based on this, we even started breeding. And for the moment, we are doing no crosses, so we have to select now the breeding populations we have, and only when we found their interesting varieties, we will again starting to do crosses. That's the same with many similar crops. So first is sampling varieties from all over the world, testing and tasting them, then to doing mostly open pollinated seeds or some crosses, then selecting these crosses, and based on this stage, then you begin again to cross and to go further, to domesticate the plants. And domesticating means to make plants more worthwhile for humans and animals.
And I think so, another crop you're working on is Hascap, Lunicera terulea, isn't it?
Yeah, we named them also. First berries Hascap, yes. There is, our work is based on the work of Jim Gilbert and some others. They were, 20, 30 years ago, they made an excursion to Hokkaido, an island, Japanese island, and they found Lunicerus. And they brought them back to the U.S., to the West Coast. And it was a breeder at the university and the nurseryman, Jim Gilbert, and they selected varieties. Their varieties are something later as the East European varieties, but they have normally also better fruit quality because they have a little bit more time to develop. And they have nicer leaves. The problem of East European or continental types of Lunicera is that they are ugly,
yeah,
really yes. Ugly. And you don't want an ugly plant in your garden. And because they start very early in the season, they are very resistant against winter frosts. So the early blooms survive. Yeah, and then they're producing fruits in May, and that's it. The plant has done everything to survive, to produce daughters and sons. And that's it. So they stop and they lose the leaves after having them covered with brown points, and so really an ugly plant. And the more oceanic, the more Pacific, the more maritime variants from Hokkaido are much better. So these are the varieties we are breeding with, and we have some very nice, also leaves, very nice varieties, blue sea and blue. Blue Moon in our assortment, and on this base we try to develop further varieties. Then in the type of growing, there are two different types. You have a low berry fruit type, like a low bush fruit type, like in blueberries, and you have a high bush fruit type, which has more open side shoots, which is easier to go in, easier to see the crop, easier to pick. Both are interesting. The compact ones are interesting for hatching, for example, in the garden. And for hiding the fruits against birds, but they see it. And the open varieties are more interesting for the crop, for picking. So that's the way we are working in it. We have a rather big population to select. We have, I think you were also selecting in early summer in them. And we will see how it develops. I think I'm very positive about the crop. It's still not a crop I would advise a farmer to do a huge acreage of it, because it's just too much risk. But we have the unique possibility in the garden that we can be the laboratory, the lab for the future feeding of mankind for agriculture, because we have not the risk. We can take different things. We can be creative. We can develop new plants, but also new ways to use them. And that's our vision of the garden and of our breeding, to bring more development, more diversity, more new ideas in the garden, and perhaps in the long term also to agriculture.
Yeah, and I've seen some Saskatoon berry seedlings in your breeding field. So what are your breeding goals at this crop?
Bigger and better. So that's a crop I really think, perhaps even more than in the Lunizera range, that it could be one day a very big plant. Why? First, in the garden, of sure, because of the combination of ornamental value and eating value.
It's an all-year plant. Nice flowers.
Nice and cold fruits.
Yes.
And then also autumn coloration sometimes. So it's really fantastic, but also in fruit production, because the fruits are rather big.
Yeah.
It belongs to the bigger fruits in the berry fruit. So that's always a potential. It's limited now because the fruits are not simultaneous ripening. So that's a problem. So we have streaks with, now we are between 12 and 18 berries. But you cannot take all of them because when they are really ripe, some will be overripe. When they are fresh, some will be not ripe. So it's rather difficult to pick for the moment. But the pure size gives them, and also the pure crop gives them some potential for the future to be a bigger crop. They have a typical arom, which is, I think, very important, but perhaps it's normally too accentuated. So it's this with mandel,
almond.
Almond, a little bit bitter, special arom. Not everybody likes it.
Some like of greenish
greenish almond, yeah. And I think we have to make it more fruity, which is possible. So there are some varieties already which are rather good, I think. For example, Martin, the variety Martin we have in our assortment is a very good variety. Yeah. We see also potential for the garden for more compact varieties. There we have an own breeding for it. So yes, this is one I could imagine that one day it would be a rather important berry crop.
And what about silverberries? So Eleagnus?
Nobody knows because it came from Asia to the U.S. There it's known as an invasive plant, which it isn't. And it's interesting because in the same genus you find different types of berry. We have the Earl, we name them pointillas, the early pointillas, which is Eleagnus multiflora, and the late pointillas, which are ripening in September, October, November, which are Eleagnus umbellata. Mm-hmm. And the good thing, I think also these have huge potential because they are direct to eat. They are fantastic to eat. If you like sweetness, acidity, and a little bit of bitterness together. And this type of bitterness you like with aperitifs. So it gives you even more appetite for more. And this you have in these fruits, perhaps. The multiflora, the early type is more interesting because bigger fruit, it's a stone fruit with one stone in, but it's very soft, you can eat it with the fruit. And we hope to develop there more things, yeah.
And I'm actually missing two cultures, two crops, which are, it a little bit, it depends on the area, more or less famous. So the chokeberry, aronia, and also gochi berry, lutium. We introduce a new aronia
variety. So that's more by hazard, by friends. We have found these varieties. And it's fantastic because it's, you know, always when you are breeding low berries, low bush berries, our definition is below 1 meter. You have to have varieties which, even being compact, to have a nice, decent crop. And that's one of it. So it's fantastic. It's 60 to 80 centimeters. It has a nice crop, good berries. So that's the reason we are bringing it to the market. It will be a new program from this spring on.
Yeah.
And in quantities for next spring. And if you are growing the low berry range of our varieties, so the below 1 meter range, that's a fantastic addition to our raspberries, to our currants, to our blackberries in this range, to give something other.
And
otherwise, we are not really breeding for the moment in Aronia is just perhaps, yeah. I I'm not really, I have to be clear, I'm not really a fan of aronia. Yeah. Okay. I like eating. I like direct eating. And that's one of the reasons. And I see not such a, you can eat aronia, yeah, but I really haven't eaten one fresh where I were 100% pleased.
So, I know it's a very strong flavor. It's a lot of bitter sweetness in it, and also this astringent. So it's,
yes, we have the same in Eliagnus, but there it's, I think, better mitigated with sugar and other things, so it's better. That's the reason. I just like to breed what I like.
So it's the same with Gochi?
Yes, it's a little bit the same. We selected some varieties, especially this instant success, which was one of the first varieties where we were sure that you will have almost 100% of the cases crop. There are other varieties which are not cropping always. And, I don't believe in plants where people are talking about and thinking they can solve all problems. Now it's cannabis. Everybody's talking about cannabis. Cannabis can do everything. We could, I don't know if you're eating some flesh or for some, how do you say? You're eating steaks? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. Sympathetic. And no, that's always when people are talking about plants that they can solve all our problems, I don't believe the people, but sometimes I even don't believe in the plant because it's just too big a story. And that was with Gochi. It's now burst. So the balloon has burst and the air is out. And it's just an interesting plant, still is. But also there, I don't find many varieties which I really like. The sweetest varieties is Turgidus, but also the sweetness of Turgidus is like the sweetness, artificial sweetness of a medicine. Yeah, it's like when you have to give child some medicine. Sometimes there is artificial because they cannot use sugar, so they take some artificial sweetness, and it's just this taste. It's not really good. And all the normal gochi berries are like unripe tomatoes with a little bit of sweetness. So it's not really what I like. But it must be very healthy.
Yeah.
So for sure. So don't plant. Please plant. No, I have nothing against the plant. I still like it, but it's not enough of a reason for us to do breeding, but you bring, as Lubera Edibles, you bring a new variety of gochi to the market.
Yes, Lubera Edibles will introduce this year a new gochi variety. It's called Little Gochi. It's not a low berry variety. It's too strong growing, but it's... this variety won't reach 150 centimeters, and it's very branchy, so it's you get a very bushy shrub of the.
And the crop. Sort of, how big is the crop? How secure? How it works every year?
Yes, in our mother plants, it works every year. The fruit size is comparable with instant success, but also the taste. So it's
the unripened tomato.
Yeah, the very strong medicinal taste. So
you have to believe in it.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Markus, for your open words to all the breeding programs you're working on. And we are at the end of this episode. I hope you liked it, you enjoyed it. And if you have any comments or questions, do not hesitate to write me an email to
ask Frederick.
To frederick.follard@luberaedibles.com. And yeah, I hope you also will enjoy our next episode. Thank you.
Thanks for hearing Gardeners Radio by Lubera Edibles. You find us on every platform for podcasts,
Spotify, Apple, and of course, on our website, www.luberoedibles.com. Go on gardening.